This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma and James Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Laying a Foundation for a Great Year, Part 2, was delivered on January 10th, 2021. Here now is James and Pastor Scott.
Aloha kakaiaka kako. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to New Hope East Hawaii this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day wherever you're at, because God is in control. Amen? Well, this morning I just have one announcement for you. Pastor Scott has your tithes and giving statements for your tax purposes. So if you would go ahead and see him. If not, he's going to mail it out sometime this week. If you're not here, but if you are here, you want to grab that from him, okay? And speaking of tithes and offerings, we are going to receive of our tithes and offerings right now. So, as you have heard many times before, but we want to go over it again. Three ways of giving here at New Hope East Hawaii, because we don't pass out the offering buckets anymore for obvious reasons. So, first of all, you can text NHHI to 808-793-5588, or you can do online giving with www.newhopeasthawaii.com, or NHEH, all capitals, HCR2, Box 6617, KL Hawaii 96749. These are our three ways that we still get to give of our tithes and our offerings. And the reason why we are obedient to this, let me just say this. Even in this past year, in this pandemic season that we've gone through, whereas we could be hurting financially as a church, we are not. And that's because of the faithfulness of the people of this church. And starting off with our pastor, we have not failed to give our tithes and our offerings as well to our district. And I believe God is really, really blessing us in that. And he has blessed this church so much. And I think we all understand that we get to be a part of something really, really huge. In fact, the biggest thing of all, bigger than NFL football, okay? When we partner up with God, even in our finances, and give of our tithes and offerings. You know what God does is he takes that, he multiplies it like only he can, and he uses it to touch lives in eternity. Not just for one Sunday, but for all of eternity. That's what God does, and that's what we get to be a part of as we do this. So I encourage you, if you have stopped tithing, I'm going to say get back on board, because the blessings way outweigh our giving. Amen? Now, for those of you who are visiting us or watching us online, we want to say thank you for joining us this morning. And especially if you have another home church, God is doing wonderful things there as well. We believe that with all our hearts. We know that. So take your tithes and your offerings to your home church, okay? Because God's going to do something wonderful, touching eternity right where you're at. But for those of us here at New Hope East Hawaii, say this is our home church, this is where we get to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed we thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing in all of eternity. Father, we're grateful that we get to touch lives with you and be a part of their eternity. So Lord, would you receive our tithes and our offerings this morning? Multiply them like only you can. And Lord, you do your thing. Bless them, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. What a wonderful year is it? Isn't it like I'm enjoying the weather. I'm enjoying being a grandfather. Oh, sounds so old, yeah. Wow. Don't get me a cane or a wheelchair yet. All right. But it's, you know, to see and to be here in a setting, to physically meet, oh, it's just so terrific. I remember that span where we couldn't meet, and we were doing church from my office with like 8 people inside there. It was like torture, because I missed all of you so much. And I'm so glad that we get to meet, and we get to fellowship, and we get to love upon all of you. All right, so, you know, we are continuing part 2 of our message, laying a foundation. Remember last week we talked about, you know, I think one of our main points was attitude. You know, when we go into this new year, we gotta set our attitude right, so that no matter what happens to us, whatever circumstances surround us, we know that God is in control, and we know that we gotta have the right attitude so we don't get bitter. You know, 2 weeks into the year, and I hope and I pray that we are staying positive. And, you know, I wanted to start this morning by saying a prayer for you. And it's a prayer that came out of my devotions last year. And it's a prayer that the apostle prayed for the church at Ephesus. If you look at a lot of Paul's letters, he starts his books with prayers for the letter that he has written, the church that he has written the letter to. So it comes out of Ephesians 1:15, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I pray for you. This because this is what I got out of my devotion. And I said, Lord, this is a good prayer for me to pray for the church. So I've been doing this constantly, and this is my prayer for all of us and for all of you. It goes like this, with your heads bowed. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, that we are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saint. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's my prayer for you. As we continue, I hope to get through these remaining points of laying a foundation for us so that we can have a great year together. All of these points are choices we get to make. It's things that we can control in an uncontrollable world. So here's the third point. Number 3, choose not to forsake the gathering. And this is just such an important scripture in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So here the writer is telling us, don't stop meeting, don't stop gathering for fellowship, for Bible study, for men's ministry, for devotions. You know, I believe when we stop coming, it kind of puts a space or a like a wall. If you understand how in the Bible days there was a city, and they kind of build siege walls around it to cut everything off, so that they ended up isolated and they couldn't get food or supplies. And sometimes when Satan's, when he takes one stuff away and we stop coming, next year, you know, we stop everything and we have forsaken the gathering. And when we're all alone out there, guess who's on the prowl looking for someone to devour? Yes, so don't stop coming, because we become easier prey for the enemy when we're out there all alone. You know, when you don't feel like coming to church, that is probably when you need it the most. I've heard many people tell me, I wasn't planning on coming today, but I'm glad I did. The message was for me. We have church on Sundays at 9 o'clock. We have men's ministry and women's ministry the second and fourth Saturdays. We have life groups on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And in those groups, we read, we write, and we share. And in these challenging times, who doesn't need a word of encouragement? Also, someone to kind of keep you accountable, to give you that little nudge when you kind of like, you know, when your car is stuck and your wheel's just spinning and kind of you just need a little bump. We all need that. So that's number three. Choose not to forsake the gathering. Whether you're online or whether you are here, you know, make a choice. Make a choice to be here when it's time to be here. Especially those of you online, because sometimes when you're online, it's easy to be here but not be here. It's easy to have everything on, even pop it on your big screen TV, but yet you're in the kitchen cooking breakfast, right? Or you're up and about, you're in the bathroom. I mean, how many of you over here, when you get up to use the bathroom, we see you. So you stay and you wait, right? Oh, I don't like get up because everybody watching me. Well, at home, you know, you can just dig out and you can be online but not be there, right? You can unhook your camera so that we don't see you, or put a post-it on it so we cannot see you, right? Because right now we're watching all of you out there on our big screen that's off a camera. Watch out. So whether you're here or there, do not forsake the gathering. It's important. Number four, choose to make a plan to grow spiritually. It is so important. 2 Peter 1, 3-7, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. What do you think he means? He's given us everything we need for a godly life. What do we need? His word. Everything we need is in there. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. You know, if you read and understand the Bible, there are so many promises you can claim in there. That is yours. But if you never get into his word, you know, how can you claim it? These promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all this, you might want to underline this part, make every effort to respond to God's promises. You say, okay, so we read, he got his promise, you make every effort to respond. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control. Oh, I need that one. And self-control with patient endurance, patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Here Peter is talking about growing in our faith. You know, we cannot grow on our own power. We need to submit and be led by the Holy Spirit. It would be like having to grow in faith and knowledge of God by chance. And that doesn't happen. I really, really believe that it takes planning and effort on our part. And I believe it's going to take us some sacrifices. When I made the choice to follow Christ some 20 years ago, I made it a choice to go to every Bible study, every small group meeting I could find, every class. I would watch video, listen to tapes, you know, what is that? Those two things with the spinning, with that little ribbon. You guys don't know what is that, right? Tapes. Ooh. Yeah, I would listen to tapes. Maybe now I just gave away my age. Yeah, and I would listen to all these to draw closer to God, to know more about Him. I figured the more I know about God, the better I can lead. I still read and I still go to classes online. In fact, I got a class this week. It's another 7 or 6 week class that is starting. That pray that I would get through it, because I know I'm going to have to. For the first 6 weeks of this class, I didn't really say nothing until the last week. Then, when, you know, because you're on Zoom and you got all the pictures, and the instructor asked me what I thought. It's like, oh gosh, I got to speak now. And so I had to say something. And this next one, we're going to have to do some outlines and speak. So it's like, whew, I hope I can get through this. But it's a good thing. It's really getting me out of my comfort zone. So I figured that the more I know about God, the closer I am to Him, the better I can lead, the better I can preach, and the better I can serve this fellowship. Number 5, choose not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many of you are like, oh, I'm shy. I don't like speak out boldly. If anyone can claim that, that would have been me. When God called me to do this, I did the Moses excuse. I'm like, hey, I am not one of eloquent speech. You know, if you listen to my voice online, I sound like, oh my gosh. I hate listening to myself. But, you know, it's kind of like you have a choice. When you come across somebody, you have a choice. I can be shy and not share the gospel. Or I can be bold and share the gospel. And if I do, this person could end up in heaven. If I don't, that person could end up in hell. That's a kind of spooky feeling. In Matthew 10:32, for everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Publicly acknowledge Christ. You know, Friday, I got to baptize Mike. See, Mike, wave your hand. Yeah, so congratulations. I got to baptize Mike. We went to Coconut Island in the morning, in the cold water, and it was cold, but that's okay because we was doing something good. And I told Mike, the Bible says, I was reading that, you know, when you acknowledge Him publicly, you know, He will acknowledge you before His Father. And that's what you're doing. You getting baptized, you're telling the whole world, hey, I'm not ashamed to be part of the Christian family. So He says, everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny him before my Father. Now, if you look at Peter's life in the gospel, he denied knowing Christ 3 times. Then in the book of Acts, he's bold. He's like something new. He's something different. He proclaims Jesus Christ to a lot of people. That same spirit that transformed Peter into a cowardly, denying Christ kind of a guy to a bold proclaimer of the gospel, that same spirit lives in you. Did you know that? It lives inside of you. You, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be with you and give you power to do this. Anyone who acknowledges Jesus Christ publicly, confesses their faith, declares allegiance to Him, will be acknowledged by Christ before His Father in heaven. You know, back then, Jesus' followers, you know, they would face some really tough persecution. John, the guy who wrote the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos, he said, they said that he was one of the guys who died of old age. But to get to that point, they said that John survived a pot of boiling oil poured on him. That's the kind of stuff they face. It's like, man, thank God we don't have to do that. And you know, there was a time that I was a very shy person. And when it comes to sharing Jesus, I was kind of shy. And I know that I needed this boldness. And I know that I needed to trust the Holy Spirit. And there was times when I tried to share the gospel and I got rejected. But that's okay. Because I called to do was share the gospel. I was not called to make them listen. Right? A lot of people you're going to share with, they're going to blow you off and say, don't give me none of that. I don't want that. But that's not up to you. All you're called to do is go share and go proclaim the gospel of Christ. Amen? And then comes this one, ties in with this. Number six, choose to practice the Great Commission. You know? Matthew 28, 19 and 20 should be a scripture that is written in our hearts. It should be highlighted and underlined in our Bible. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the words of Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a command from Jesus. You know, for us to have a great year, I believe it's going to take us bringing people into God's community, sharing Jesus with them, bringing them to the Lord. Any of you ever led someone to the Lord personally, one-on-one? Isn't it a great feeling? Those of you who raised your hand, man, if you never did that, try it. I'll tell you, you'll be like walking on clouds, thinking like, wow, this person will be in heaven because of me, because of what I did, because I was obedient to God's word. This is a command before he ascended to heaven. It was not a suggestion. It was not his last wish. It was a command to go. You know, we go, practice Great Commission, going for it, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, if you lack confidence, it will be hard. But it's not about what you know. It's not having to know the Bible cover to cover before you can lead someone to Christ. Remember in the book of John, in John 4:42, they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you have told us, but because we heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. So what was happening here? This was the Samaritan woman at the well and the encounter with Jesus. And Jesus told her about her lifestyle, her five husbands, and the one that you're with now, you're not even married to. And this lady was like, wow, I perceive that you are a prophet. So she really didn't know much about Jesus. But she went back to her city and she told, hey, guys, you got to come check out this guy at the well. He told me everything about my life. You got to come check him out. So the city came out. They came out. And after they heard Jesus, they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you told us, but because of what we heard ourselves. So you just got to get them here. Get them somewhere we can share with them. You may lead them to Christ, that's great. But if not, bring them here. We'll do that for you. It's teamwork. And we are a team. You know, you and I, we get to do this across every relationship in our circle. Because I don't work where you work. I don't go where you go, to the gym and all those fancy places where you get fit. You know, you may go here, you may there. I don't work with you. So you have different people that you come across every day. And the people you come across are different from the ones next to you or from me. So we all got to work together as the body of Christ to reach the lost. Amen? Now, point number 7, I have asked for help from a very special friend of mine. He's a good guy, even if he loves the Patriots, or should I say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Well, so wishy-washy. Can I correct you to the right one? But I would ask you to welcome Brother James, because he's going to share point number 7.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Whew, I'm finally up here. Sharing now. I remember back in December when Pastor asked me to help him with a message, and I thought it was the whole message, but he said only 7 minutes, so I'm going to start my timer. And I told my wife about it, and she was like, oh, okay. And I know I give my wife I worry more than her when she gives missions. I ask her, are you ready? Have you been practicing? And now she did the same thing back to me, and oh, I'm never going to do that again. I'm sorry. And, well, he told me the subject, and it was pride, and I was like, oh, pride, okay. And I was actually, God put it in my heart last year to do a message, and was to speak about pride, and I'm probably going to do one later on this year, and it's going to be about pride. And just for today, it's on pride. I'm asking for help. And in the Bible, they speak a lot about pride. And the first scripture that really stood out to me was in Proverbs 16, verse 18. And it's, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. And then this scripture helped me out a lot as a young Christian. And after I read that scripture, I learned that I really need to put God first in my life, because I couldn't do it by myself. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to do that fall they were talking about. So I didn't want to fail my family, my friends, my loved ones. And I just needed to put my pride aside, go to my knees and ask God for his help, put my trust in him, and just lean on him and just ask for directions. This, basically, I just needed help from God, and I think we all do. All right, I think that's the 7 minutes. I think I got about 4 more minutes. Okay. It brings me to my next one. It comes from James 4:10. And it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And this scripture really helped me through a tough time in my life. I was reading it in my devotions, and this was during the second month of my chemo and radiation. And I was here in church early in the morning, and I was help setting up, and I just was having a real tough time. I was weak, and I wasn't strong anymore. For a month, I couldn't eat or hold nothing down, so the only way I would get nutrition was through the IV Monday through Friday at the oncology center, and on the weekends, Jen would bring me to the ER and get IV there, and I just was having a tough time. I couldn't walk far without breathing hard and my heart beating fast, and I just asked God in the container back there, said, Lord, give me strength. I just need some more strength to help finish setting up church, and he didn't give me strength, but I just remember humbling myself before him, and instead of giving me strength, He gave me knowledge to ask for help. And my help was right in front of my eyes. It was my oldest daughter, Janaya. So she's like daddy's girl. She always follows me around. She's my shadow, my tail. And after church that day, I asked her, oh, you want to help dad set up church every Sunday? And she said, yes. And ever since that, she's been here serving with me, help setting up church. And that's one of the many awesome blessings that I got from having cancer. Which brings me to my last one. I know Pastor's been speaking about Lena, great foundation for a great year. And those were a couple of scriptures that helped me out. And it was on pride. Asking for help really helped me lay that great foundation. And it helped me build me up and my family. And my last scripture, it was the wrong one. It was my fault. But it comes from Matthew 11:29. And if you have, you can write in your notes. And it reads, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest in your soul. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. And I know by setting my pride aside, I know I can find rest by casting all my worries onto Jesus and feel unashamed for asking for help and prayer. So at this time, I'd like to ask my youngest daughter, Genesis, my wife, and Pastor Scott and my family to come up here. Everyone, this is my youngest daughter, Genesis. Jen, Janaya. And I'm asking for prayer for Genesis. You never know by looking at her if you ever got to talk with her. She has a lot of health problems. She has epilepsy. She has a bleeding disorder. She also has neurofibromatosis, which is a nerve disorder that causes tumors to grow on nerves, tissue, bones, and organs everywhere in and on her body. Yes, and this morning I'm just asking for prayers for Genesis. She had her annual checkup, and the doctors found a large tumor that was in her left hip socket, and they're very worried it's cancer, so she'll be flying out with Jen Tuesday to get a full body PET scan. And thereafter, a team of doctors will determine what kind of treatments and surgeries she has. But with all this going for her and my family, that scripture, I know I just give it all to God and Jesus, and we're just going to pray and let God's will be done.
Genesis, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you stretch out a hand and pray with us? Lord, your word says in Mark 11:24, therefore all things for which we pray and ask, believe that we have received them and it will be granted. Your word says in James that if anyone among us is sick, anyone is suffering, then they are to call for the elders of the church, and they are to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and offer a prayer in faith, and if they have committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Lord, we have done according to your word. James has put his pride aside, and he's asking for help. He's asking for prayers of the saints. Together, as a fellowship, we lift up Genesis to you. Prayer for healing. When she goes to the doctor on Tuesday, let the tumor be gone. Let it be non-cancerous. Let it be non-existent. Let it be a testimony to her faith. To our faith, we petition you. We offer this prayer in faith. We have done according to your word. We believe We have anointed her with oil, and we lift up this prayer now. So we pray for healing and for health for Genesis. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, James. That was 7.5 minutes. But you're forgiven. It was important for him. You know, like for us, I think this last point is good for our men because we have so much pride and we are hesitant to ask for help. I am guilty of that. I am so guilty of that. But I realize that when I do get help, it makes things so much easier. So thank you, James, for sharing that point. You know, those of you who get this message on Facebook and you play it over and over again, you share it with your family and friends, I'm hoping and praying that they will continue to pray for Genesis. I think, Genesis, your middle name is Faith. Wow. Genesis, Faith. Okay, so just remember that. Every time you think about faith, you pray for Genesis. Amen? So as we share this, hopefully we'll get the multitudes praying for your healing. And that's the thing. You need prayer, ask. You know, if you still have a little bit pride and you kind of don't want to ask, then on your bulletin, tear off that little piece, write your prayer request, drop it in the offering bucket. That way you don't have to ask me for prayer, but you're writing it so that we can pray for you. And that's an important part of being in this fellowship. We pray for one another. Amen. If there's anyone here out there that needs to receive Jesus, I'm going to give you this chance right now. Just in case somebody may have invited you to watch or you yourself need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. This is your chance to say yes. This is your chance to be unashamed of proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? God bless you. Anybody else? Lord, you may put your hands on. Lord, you have seen the hands. And I pray that they would learn to love you, that they would learn how much you love them, and that they would learn to walk with you all of the days of their lives, that you would bless them with health, happiness, and abundant life, give them the strength, patience, endurance to overcome every trial that comes their way, and may they never take their eyes off of you. We thank you, Lord, for those who said yes here and those who said yes on Facebook. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, James. Would be James to find some words from James, right? I would only expect that from him. But would you stand and join us as we sing, shout, dance, clap our hands, lift our hands, and sing praises to our Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
I know who I am.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma and James Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.